chairs and not stand up right here. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Now there's a scripture in here, and verse 8 is going to be our key verse. And we will be reading verse 9 in just a few minutes. But the title of the sermon is Noah Found Grace in the Eyes of the Lord. Now that's a that could be a memory verse almost for children. It's Genesis 6, 8. They might already know that one. But let's turn in our Bible here. I'm gonna try this here. I pulled my marker out of my Bible, so I'll just have to find it the old-fashioned way, I guess. Genesis 6, 1 through 8, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, wherein the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man with whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's go ahead and read verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect or blameless in his generations. Noah walked with God. God has blessing to the reading of his word. So again, our key verses, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now that word grace, sometimes we associate that in the New Testament maybe a little bit differently. But here it's mean that he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Sometimes we think of grace as unmerited favor and unmerited mercy. And we could maybe unmerited favor. But here, the Hebrew word there is he did find favor in the eyes of the Lord. God saw Noah's walk. It says Noah walked with God. That's quite a statement. So let's explore this general statement. The present is influenced by the past, and both affect the future. Listen to that again. The present is influenced by the past, and both affect the future. So we have those three tenses of time: the present, the past, and the future. So let's start with the past. Noah was in a world of wickedness at the edge of destruction. You think about what he was dealing with. God wanted to destroy everything and everybody. But verse 9 said Noah was a just man, perfect, blameless, or having integrity, and that he walked with God. Have you ever felt alone doing what was right? And ask yourself, why should I continue in my integrity and doing the right thing when no one seems to care? No one likes me for it. They might respect me, might not. But respect feels lonely at times. Yeah, they don't like me, but they respect me. But respect can really feel lonely at times. Everybody else is doing it, and they seem happy and fine, and there seems to be no consequences for what they're doing, so why can't I? What was that scripture again? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because can you imagine how Noah felt? Because he just didn't seem like he and his wife was on a virtual island in the midst of all these supposedly carefree people. He was actually on an island. You know, we feel like we're alone sometimes and we're batting all alone and there's no one like us. And Elijah felt the same thing. There's no other prophets like me. And God told him, I had held back 400 prophets that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But think about it. Moses and his family were in an isolated, they were the only ones on all the earth that God chose to spare. Speaks to his history, how he had been persistent and consistent in his walking with God, and he had done that, and God noticed, God saw. His history affected his present as God assigned him to a mission, a task, an objective, a challenge. And his challenge was to save mankind and all these animals. Can you imagine how alone he still felt in the midst of doing the right thing for God as he's building a boat or a ship or what do we call that? An ark. This is the story of Noah and the ark. I'd kind of like to go down and see that ark in Cincinnati or wherever it's at or Kentucky. Noah and the ark. And he built this ark. Now, how long did it take him to build this ark? Well, I didn't do a lot of research on it. I found somebody that gave an apologetic, an idea about how long. And they estimated 55 to 75 years. It didn't take a few months or a few weeks like the movie that's got the ark in it and they built it. Steve Carroll or whatever his name might be.
Heaven Almighty.
Huh? Heaven Almighty. Heaven Almighty? All right. Well, I think it took a little bit longer than that. But 55 to 75 years. So he's already isolated. He's also already weird. He's the nerd or he's the whatever piece of, you know, every group feels isolated at some group, whatever title they have. But he truly was isolated. And now he's going along and he's building an ark. An ark. Kind of a strange thing to build is an ark in the middle of dry land. I'm given other TV references. It's kind of like that strange thing. Some of us might be familiar with NCIS, and there's a guy that builds a boats in his basement. And you never know how to get out. It's kind of an odd thing. But he's building a boat on dry land, and he claims there's going to be this flood thing. Oh, crazy old Noah. And no, he didn't have a daughter named Beauty. Crazy old Maurice would be the line from that. I'm getting all my references in here, aren't I? But think of how isolated and alone. Because first, okay, you might feel like it's just me and my family. We're in the midst of all this, and we're all alone. But you're really not. There's other families like you out throughout the world, but Noah was it throughout the world. And he's building an ark. But see, he had been in training. He had lived a life before God and be persistent through all the temptations and all the things that he had dealt with. He had been persistent. And so God entrusted him after training. He went through this training and his persistence prepared him for this task. This task. 55 to 75 years. Quite a task. Can you imagine if you're trying to his sons got married, right? So you have two ways to look at this as his sons are looking for people to get married to. Maybe they had to deal with a dowry. I don't know what their customs were at that time, but you think you're going to go to the father, and he says, well, what's your plans? Well, dad's building an ark. Oh, you're the Noah family. Crazy people. Now, if they were meant people of faith, they would say, oh, well, your wife will be one of the three to help repopulate the earth. Mm-hmm. You have a great legacy. And she will be, I plan on saving my wife. While you and your wife, you sinful people, will be, no, they didn't go that route. But can you imagine trying to find women to marry at that time, knowing how crazy and isolated that family was. But they found some. And they brought them in. It was just them and their family. But he went through that for 55 to 75 years. Now, that persistence. What did that next prepare them for? Because they were in the ark for just over a year. I think 371 days or something like that. Now, we talked about they might have felt like they were an island before, but now they were a floating island. It was just them. Maybe you can start relating to that island feeling you've been in your lifetime. Regardless of what age you might be, you felt that isolation. They were in that isolation. The past had brought them to the present and had prepared them for them. And they're at sea with all these animals. Can you imagine how the chores went at that time? And I know their sons were probably, you know, older, but it's like, okay, who did you feed the leopards? Because if the leopards don't get fed, you know, what problem that causes, because they're going to look for something else to eat. Or, you know, who cleaned up the mess and aisle, whatever. Because you have to think about the mess is everywhere. And how old would that get? I'm sure Noah's wife loved the fact that the house that she had was a wreck all the time. Everybody was being raised in a barn. It stunk. She couldn't keep it clean. You know, I don't know if they had to take their boots off or what they did when they came in or where they went, the different sections. A year of that. That's not the 55 to 75 days, but at least they could go home after work, right? They could go home after they got done building the ark, and they could separate themselves. But there's sometimes your challenges and the task that's put before you it's not just the challenge at work. It comes home. Or it's the challenge of your entire family to act on that. And you have to persevere, and you need to lean in. And you have to keep going. In your present with God, keep going. There is victory in your lifetime. You affect those that are around you and their future as well as your own. You affect them all. Because remember what we said last week, you are the salt and light. Salt and light. You know, you might be waiting for the right job, the right spouse, when to have kids, when to be blessed with kids, whatever that you're waiting on. But be waiting on God while persisting in his ways. Keep to the task. Because Noah had the fate of all mankind and species, some of these species of animals lying on his shoulders. It wasn't some sci-fi fantasy movie is they're going to save mankind and all those things from the aliens coming in or whatever is going to happen. He really did. Had that task. Can you imagine that kind of pressure? But he persevered. And God can help you to persevere as well. There's a song that said, God is watching you. Now, it's a nice tune and it goes well, but I don't like all of it. Because it says, God is watching you. God is watching you. God is watching you from a distance. Now, I understand he's watching from a distance, but the problem I have with that song is it feels like the deist approach to the world. Remember, the deists say that God's out there. He created the world. He spun it in motion, and then he said, now he's just watching the movie. He's watching the movie from a distance. God wants to be personally involved in our daily life. He wants to walk with you and you walk with him on a daily life. So God didn't say, okay, no, go and see you later. It said Noah walked with God, as I recall correctly. And remember when they closed the door on the ark? When the closed the door on the ark, who shut them in? God shut them in. God shut them in the ark. God was out there saying, hope you figure out how to get that door shut. No, God shut them in. Who told them how to build the ark? God did. God wants to be involved and is involved in your personal life and your situation. He is watching. And it feels like it is from a distance. But he wants to be a personal God. Not your only God, but our God. But a personal relationship with you. But yet, he has a majesty. We need to treat him with respect and royalty and honor and a sense of awe. But know him also as a friend, a counselor, a leader. He is watching. He is preparing you. And the scripture talks about, be still and know that I am God. That talks about waiting on God. You ever feel like you're in a car on your journey of life and you're asking God, am I there yet? Am I there yet? But we have to wait. Like Noah waited in the ark for over a year. Are we there yet? Now, they didn't have the stresses of bills and all those things. They had other stresses. I probably would have been seasick, but maybe it didn't wash around a lot because there had to be a lot of weight in there. But wait on him. And think about how he has brought you to the point that you are now. Because Noah had walked with God, and he looked back at his walk with God and comes to the present, and I've got this challenge. But as he looks back on how he has walked with God through to this point, he gives his confidence in the current spot. And it gives him confidence to move forward. And you think about how things has worked out for you. How things have laid out for you. If you start looking, you're like, okay, this is pretty cool. This is great. You need to thank God for that because he has done something special and unique for you. As you have trusted and you have been involved with him. Yesterday, I was under the basement, the crawl space of my dad's house. And I had had a claustrophobic experience under my mother-in-law's house. And so I got down underneath there and I'm like, can I hold out? And the longer I held, the more confidence I got. And as Elijah can attest to, I crawled everywhere. And we were under there for 2.5 hours. I'm like, are we ever going to get, we had to get insulation out of the basement, out of the crawl space. Are we ever going to get it all out? But we're going to persevere. We can do this. And we did. But you have to stick with it because each step, as you step with God, one after the other, into that thing, even into that difficult thing, even to that thing that panics you. Because what I would do is I'd lay in the crawl space when we were in there a week ago. And I was laying there and I'd lay and I'm like, okay, guys, make sure I get a way out. I have to know that I can get out. I have to have a way out. And I just lay there, well, okay, I'm okay, okay, okay. And you move forward, okay, okay. Now, if you know somebody that's dealing with claustrophobia or stuff like that, and they're missing one of the situations, just don't say things like, you know the walls aren't closing in. That doesn't work. You want another topic altogether. Just, or don't say anything else. Move on to another topic. Because they're just trying to like, I'm okay, this is fine. Now there was a point that I was under there and I'm like, okay. I was waiting and there was something getting cleaned out of the way. And I said, listen, I need you guys to be moving these things. Because moving things versus just laying under there, not doing anything, waiting on somebody. I said, move them along or I'm getting out. But we got it done. But we persevered. But that's just an example. You have them in your own life. But as you, God helps you persevere in the task that he gives you. Prepares for the task that's our ahead. And as you look at the task before you and will it ever happen? Will I ever find him or ever find her? Will we ever have kids? Will we ever this? Will we ever that? Will I ever this? Will I ever that? Be still. And know that I am God. He says. Then we can trust in him. We can have patience. I want everybody to get out their cell phone and go to our webpage. Webpage. Marysville3cu.org. Marysville, the numeral 3, letter cu.org. We've talked about how God, if we're consistent with God in the past, that gives a confidence for the present, and he's preparing us for that, and that all prepares us for the future, and that prepares us for the next present, right? And what does the title phrase say in there? Let's say it together. Your best future begins with God. Your best future begins with God. If you're trying to plan for the future and the things you want to accomplish, begin it with God in the present. And continue there. Continue there. You say, well, I've been trusting God for a long time. Yes, that built to this present, but you're beginning the future now. Now is the beginning of the future. Be in the present with God so you can be in the future with God as well. And persevere. Be consistent. God is watching you, but not from a distance. He's next to you. He wants to help you. He wants to be with you. Let's be standing. As always, if you have a need of prayer, you're welcome to come kneel at the front or talk to me afterwards. But this is not necessarily that kind of sermon. This is a sermon to encourage you to keep going with God. In the midst of the unknown, in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of the ups and downs, and even as this church, it's the same kind of thing. We're building a church. We don't even have all the people here yet. But they will come as we're faithful. And as you continue with us and continue this work together and in your life, God will help you. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that we can trust you with the future. And Father, we don't have to worry about everything, and we don't have to worry about this and that and the other thing. If we trust in you, you are all-knowing. And you are watching, but you're also walking with us. And may we take courage in that. And although we seem like we're in an island, we're not like an island like Noah was. And oh, we feel like we're all alone. We're wondering how can I just put up with this situation any much longer? Let us be reminded that just like you were with Noah and how he acted and how he responded to things, and you were with him in the building project and you were with them in the big storm, that there was victory in this life. There's victory in eternity, but there can be victory and peace in this life. And Father, help us each to trust in you, that regardless of what's going on, and regardless of what the storms are doing, and the waves are rolling, and the floods are going, and it's up and down, and it seems hard, that we can be at peace because we are in the ark, the shelter of your hands, Almighty God. Bless us now. Be with us as individuals. Be with us as a church. Be with us as we endeavor to do your will. We pray these things in Jesus' name.